Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen, there we go. Hey, everybody. Hey, monkeys. Welcome to Snark Monkey number 47, the Ratchet and Clank episode, or Ratchet and Quark, as we're calling it, with voice actors James Arnold Taylor in a return engagement to the Snark Monkey cage. Better known as Ratchet in this circumstance, and Jim Ward, better known as Captain Quark in this particular universe. A great conversation and fun shenanigans coming up with those two. By the way, I'm Larry Morgan. You can follow us on Twitter at The Snark Monkey. Search for The Snark Monkey Facebook page for updates and more interviews and monkey news coming soon. Not kidding. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes. Subscribe there, please. Or on snarkmonkey.net. You can find it on iHeartRadio and even Spreaker, if you know what the hell that is. So there you go. There's the business. Oh, by the way, this space available for sponsorship opportunities. There, that space right there. All right. So today we're talking to two of the voice actors known well in the Ratchet and Clank universe. Ratchet and Clank, a game that was born in 2002 on the Sony platforms, has continued to have successful releases since then. And now, 14 years later, finally, an animated film, theatrical release, and it's in theaters now as we speak. Well, as I post this, maybe not yet. The screenings start later on tonight, but depending on when you listen to this, blah, 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 you know how podcasts work and their relation to actual space and time. You may be listening to this at a point when the movie's coming out on demand or on DVD or on Blu-ray or on brain implanted chip that I'm sure Google or Apple is going to be introducing any day now. So I'm just trying to stay up on technology, not have to re-record these intros. So yeah, Ratchet and Clank, the movie, is out now. And to their credit, the filmmakers kept some of the original voices from the games that you knew forever, including my two guests today. And then you throw in there people like Rosario Dawson and Paul Giamatti and John Goodman, you know, for the, you know, marquee value. But James Arnold Taylor has been the voice of Ratchet from almost the beginning. He talks about that journey. And Jim Ward, who does many great impressions, is part of the Stephanie Miller Show. And all three of us actually have worked together in the radio comedy world at one point. We talk about that a little bit and just talk about the world of voice actors, how they help develop these characters from early on, and what that life is like, and also just kind of the fandom of being somebody involved in gaming as well as animation. I mean, the fans of those two venues in particular can be rabid and loyal and awesome and occasionally woo. And if that's you, I'm sorry. But yeah, if you're listening to us for the first time, thank you for being here at Snark Monkey. I hope you subscribe. We have great conversations coming up with big shot former CBS TV executive Nina Tassler, as well as very funny standing up comedian and podcast pioneer Jimmy Pardo, future episodes. But in the meantime, why don't we head on into the universe of Ratchet and Clank with Ratchet and Quark themselves. It's James Arnold Taylor and Jim Ward, Snark Monkey number 47.
But even when I'm on, I don't sound as good as Jim.
Well, that's because Jim has a better voice than you.
Oh,
ja,
is that what you want?
Right. Und ich muss auf diesem Mikrofon auf Deutsch sprechen.
Is that what you want to hear, James? Is that what you want? No.
Es gibt keinen Dolmetscher really? Für diesen Mikrofon.
Oh, no.
So, oh, boy.
Where are we?
I don't know.
This is going to be weird.
Die Fahne hoch, die Reihe fest. No.
So Jim Ward and James Arnold Taylor, two-thirds of the top billed names.
Yes.
In the new Ratchet and Clank movie. Now, we've unfortunately had to, we have to say goodbye to David Tate.
Clank.
He didn't
die. He's sick
now.
And he's got this really bad cough.
He's got a clunk.
He's got a clunk.
Okay,
yeah.
That's terrible.
Clank.
So
clank.
He's trying to get better. So, you know, wish him well.
For those who are checking in and maybe don't know, but of course anybody listening to this probably knows full well who you are in the game and in the movie. But James, of course, you are Ratchet.
Ratchet. So I play Ratchet in Ratchet and Clank, and Ratchet is a Lombax. And there is only one Lombax. We don't know where the other Lombax have gone.
The other Lombax got axed.
That's right. I suspect Quark had something to do with it.
Oh.
No, but, and I want to be a Galactic Ranger. And my hero is Captain Quark.
And I'm Captain Copernicus Quark.
And Jim Ward here, of course.
He is.
he literally is. He transformed. His uniform is on and everything now. So you guys, how long have you guys been associated with these characters now?
Back
if you
since
did the
math.
90s.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
It's a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they said it was 14, 15 years, something like that it's all been going on. Yeah.
And how amazed are you that you actually are seeing this come? I mean, literally, this thing is going into theaters. I mean, would you have ever expected over this amount of time?
I would have hoped for
something
like that.
Yeah, we all hoped because we saw that. They're really beautifully written. They're wonderful stories. Mm-hmm. T.J. Fixman, who's been the writer of so many of the games, wrote the initial script, and you know they've made some tweaks and changes and stuff. But they've always played like a sitcom or a movie or something, anyway. So
yeah, there's a ton of great humor. There's a lot of great writing. I mean, this is something coming from my son because I didn't kind of grow up in the era of video games. As we
What's
know
wrong
them now.
With you?
Well, you guys didn't either, and even though you're younger than I am, James.
not really.
After Pong and, after.
No, I know.
I remember during the era of the really first primitive games, there wasn't really much there in terms of dialogue. I guess there wasn't enough bit space for.
No, if a dialogue was basically it was just printed on the screen in bad block letters.
Right.
That was the extent of dialogue.
Good luck.
Yeah. So the fact that there have been these really amazing stories told, and I that's what I was going to say is that about the time I want to make fun of my son, he goes on this kind of rant about some of these stories are so incredibly well written. They really wrap you up. They're novel-like in how rich they can be in these worlds that are created. Mm-hmm. And I see that now. And for something like Ratchet and Clank with some humor to it and actually some real fun and some real depth to something that could have just been a one-off kind of situation.
I'm moving closer. For everybody listening, so I'm vlogging.
They
James, so I'm recording.
James is way more invested in the visual aspect of this podcast.
So I've got two cameras, and I want to make sure that Jim and I are in the same shot.
There's a very tiny camera over there.
Hi, Jim,
with a really teeny tiny microphone.
But then
hey!
Two shots so I can
Why is my
you.
Voice so high?
It's the camera.
Suddenly, Jim, your word shrunk to the size of a pea pod.
Hey!
You know, I've got to say, though, Captain Quark, have you seen the whole movie?
No, I haven't.
I've finally got to see the whole movie, and I am honest to God, Jim, you are awesome in this movie.
Thanks.
Because Captain Quark has a very specific role in the games that's
kind of just not... Without him, there's just no... He's so funny. He's so great. If you loved Mary Tyler Moore and you had Ted Knight, it's like, and you go, there's no Mary Tyler Moore without Ted Knight. Quark is that...
There's a lot of Ted Knight in Quark.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Is that kind of what inspired the character, Jim?
In a way, this is sort of the bombast of... Lou,
I'm curious actually when you guys were
and some Homer Simpson too a little bit.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, I hear that. When you, I'm curious, both of you, when you were first approached way back when it was just a game and you didn't know who these characters were, and when you first kind of got this copy in front of you, how do you approach creating a character like that? How much of it is in the description? How much of it is in the visual sense, the clues that they're giving you, because the characters are usually conceived and already drawn and animated by that time?
Well, I mean, Quark's size informs you, you know, what he's going to sound like. He's just a big, bombastic guy. Yeah.
And he's very agile. He's like, he can do anything. He's flipping around and walking on his fingers. And he's hysterical.
What about Ratchet? How did you approach that? Did they have a description?
Here's the interesting thing. I was not the first Ratchet. I was the second Ratchet.
Right, that's
so,
right.
So Mikey Kelly, who's a dear friend of mine, and you know, do you know Mikey? I don't know if you know Mikey.
Sounds familiar.
So he's a voice actor, and we were in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles together, which was directed by Kevin Monroe, who directed Ratchet and Clank. And he played Michelangelo, so he was my brother Turtle. He played Ratchet in the first game, and then they decided to go a different direction. Oh, how often do we get that? Yeah,
yeah, we went a different direction,
yeah,
one that veers away from you.
If you could just, no.
Yeah.
So he's
you
a,
stay here, we'll be over here.
He's been a real good sport about it, though. But so
well,
I
that
took
happens
over.
In this,
yeah, it happens. I've had it
time.
Happen to me before, and I got Ratchet after the second game, and I've been him since the second game on, and I've done 17 different games as Ratchet. Like,
so
he's had cameos and things.
Did you feel you had to, I mean, if they were going a different direction, did that mean they wanted kind of a different take on the character, or did you have to match?
No, I didn't have to match him at all. Normally, I come in that type of thing. I come in, I got to match him, you know, and both Jim and I do a lot of, you know,
voice
doubling
matching.
And
yeah.
stuff. This was, no, just make it your own, which was cool.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I'll definitely come back to the movie and the characters. Because,
you better.
For sure, because that's what we're here for, to plug that damn thing. It's kind of exciting, though, to see you. I will say this. I saw a poster in the Grove Theater when I was going to see something else, and there it is. And you guys, you know, get your name on some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's not
along
bad.
With people like Paul Giamatti. I mean, typically
Sly
they're gonna cast. Yeah, they're gonna cast these animated films. And they didn't realize at the time you guys could have been all those people. Does anybody, by the way, do a Paul Giamatti impression in the room?
Can we? Yeah.
There is.
He's got this kind,
of a higher voice. When he gets a little panicked, his voice gets higher.
All right, Paul, I would like Paul to interview Paul, please. About the film.
Yeah.
About
the thing is,
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, when I crashed the Volvo into the. I probably shouldn't have had the Pinot Noir before I got in the car.
I am not drinking Merlot.
All right.
I hate Merlot.
who else is cast in the movie? You mentioned Stallone, Paul Giamatti,
Bella Thorne,
who actually worked with him very briefly on a Disney thing that a friend of mine cast me in. Yeah,
yeah. She's a lovely young actress. Did you see Alexander in the really horrible, awful, terrible Bad Day or any of that? That was a funny one.
Steve Carell was in that.
She was in that.
All right.
And Rosario Dawson is in this. She really has kind of a standout performance. You know, you haven't seen it all. She's great. Like, you go, one of us. She's one. She just
one of us.
She
one
just
of
performs
us.
Beautifully as a voice actress.
Well, I think it says something that they kept the original voices, basically, the voices that game players, gamers, and fans have been hearing forever, as well as obviously incorporating, you know, stars, which they do these days. I mean, that's just unfortunately part of the VO world is that they're going to cast big names. Mm-hmm. But it seems that there are still voice actors who work regularly, even in the biggest Pixar Disney movies, who get these opportunities. So kudos to them, the company, whoever put this together.
Insomniac is the creators of the game.
Yeah.
And then Sony is the distributor with Gramercy, but they Blockade Entertainment is the ones that actually made it possible. They're Blockade Entertainment, it's really kudos to them and Insomniac, because they wanted it to stay like the game. So they said, it's important that we keep that integrity. And the fans, that's been the beautiful thing, is the fan outreach to Jim and myself and to David going, it's so cool you guys are the voices. Because I think a lot of people would have went, I'm not seeing it. You know,
Ironically, Armin Shimerman, who plays Dr. Nefarious, played Quark in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
That was
and here I'm the other Quark. There are two Quarks in this.
Yeah,
and it's very quirky, you might say.
Yeah, I can't
it's
forget
a quirky
Armin, because Armin is, you know, I mean, he's kind of looked at as celebrity because he's on camera. People recognize
him. Right,
but he's a voice actor, and he's a wonderful voice actor.
And he's always had an amazing voice.
Nefarious throughout all this. Yeah.
And he does that whole kind of evil kind of...
And he's so funny in it. So I think that there's wonderful nods to people that have played these games all these years, but it's also... It's not going to feel different because it's us.
Yeah.
I actually did a play reading with Armin some years ago in a theater company I was involved in, and he played... Joseph Goebbels, and I played Hermann Göring. It was yeah, it was very interesting.
Jim, let's talk about kind of your other lives a little bit. Jim, you are a radio guy. Mm-hmm. You've been part of radio shows. You do a lot of your voices and characters impressions, and mm-hmm. tell people where you are right now, because you've been associated with this.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, you've been associated with her for how long?
Oh, boy, since the 90s, actually,
yeah,
when she was at KUBC.
You've essentially been the go-to voice for, and of course, because it's Stephanie Miller, if for people who don't know, you're going to be doing a lot of political stuff, mm-hmm. and you probably couldn't be a busier and more active guy in that show.
We had a lot of fun with Bill Clinton back in the 90s.
I bet you did.
Not as much fun as I had. I think you know what I mean.
Ooh.
So what has Stephanie got you doing right now most of the time?
It's been... In the olden days, way back then, in the covered wagon era. No, I used to write these elaborate bits with multiple characters, but this got too exhausting, and so now I just kind of wing it, you know. And you know, Trump's given us a lot of ammunition.
Yeah, I had the best words. I had the biggest hands.
There we go.
I'm just great. I'm brilliant, and you're not.
The funny thing is the way he says
chicks,
China.
Can't live with him, can't live without him.
How Trump says China?
China.
He's China. Yeah, it's funny. But you've got him down, man.
It's mostly the mouth and his bombastic kind
he
of.
He becomes him. See, the people on the vlog, they
can
see.
They're going to see that. James, what have you been asked to do anything recently that kind of surprised you that you had to really work on to get?
No, one that actually I was surprised came naturally that is fun is TV show Guardians of the Galaxy. I play Yondu and Cosmo. And Yondu is the character that Michael Rooker played in it. And Michael Rooker, of course, from Walking Dead.
Right.
And all.
Wow.
And Michael Rooker, he's got this kind of, he's kind of Cajun and he's this alien. And so, yeah, boyo, he calls everybody boyo. But it's just one of them voices. It's just fun to do. And I thought, oh, wow, I don't know if I, and because it's pretty different, you know, from my regular voice or anything I'd done. And I've had fun with that. And then Cosmo is a telepathic Russian cosmonaut dog. He reads minds. So those are, that's the best part about being voice actors is we can be this and we can sound like anything. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
and
so fun.
Create completely new voices. I mean, you guys, James has actually been on the Snark Monkey podcast. He was episode number one, actually.
Ooh, look at that.
Over a year and a half ago. Wow. So we talked a lot about his influences. When you were coming up, Jim, when you started to recognize you could do voices, were there guys that you...
Well, what first turned me on to that whole thing was... I got a tape recorder from my, I guess it was 13th birthday
or something like that. Yeah.
And that was right when Copycats came out and all the Impressionists. And I thought, oh, hey, I could do this.
That's right. Then that was TV show that had every great
Rich
impression.
Little, I mean,
and
that was
Gorshin,
David Fry, was he on that?
Yeah.
There was an African-American gentleman.
George Kirby, wasn't it?
Yes.
George Kirby. Mm-hmm. And who else am I thinking of?
Some females.
Name is escaping me.
We're going to have to Google it.
Yeah. But Frank Gorshin, I was just talking. I did.
Oh, I ran into him. At
did
the,
you
the,
really?
After SAG clinic in Burbank, and he was in the elevator, and his back was turned to me, and he just had this whole aura. I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not who you think I am. I'm not here. You know, and I really would. I'd like to talk to him, but
for anybody who doesn't know,
pretty ill at that
Frank
point,
Gorshin played the Riddler on the Batman.
Wait a minute, this Batman.
and what people who know him from that, who've ever watched that show just for pure campy reasons, don't realize is that probably, I guess maybe with Rich Little, but probably Frank Gorshin,
one of the greatest,
impressionist mm-hmm. who has ever worked.
Especially Kirk Douglas, because they both have that Slavic bone structure.
Right.
You know, it's not.
He was so. I was just. I did
can't
a,
and I won't.
I had a voiceover session yesterday with Gary Cole. who is just one of my favorite. I love him. He's such a great actor. You remember from Office Space?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're going to need you to move down to Storage
Saturday.
B.
Yeah.
We got some new people coming in.
He and I got into a conversation about Frank Gorshin, and it's so funny how people that recognize that Rich Little was great, everybody, you know, but he was kind of the commercial one, and Frank Gorshin was like the impersonator's impersonator.
Yeah, he really was.
He became the character.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was the first guy to do Nicholson and do the whole with the hair and the glasses, and, you know, it was just great.
In some ways, it's a bit of a lost art because there are certainly people who do impressions of people now. But and it's something about growing up in the 60s and 70s, I guess, where it seemed to be so prevalent. I mean, Rich Little had his own TV show, and he was on every talk show.
Yeah.
And these guys, we know these guys' names. Frank Gorshin. Here are the other copycats. Frank Gorshin, Rich Little, Fred Travellina.
Fred Travellina is who I was thinking of.
And another one who was on game shows all the time. Nobody knows these names anymore, and it's sad. George Kirby. Charlie Callis.
Charlie Callis.
Yes, of course.
Anybody can anybody do a very
good. I want the
Also Joe Baker and the lone female Marilyn Michaels.
Marilyn Michaels.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Marilyn Chambers. Different thing.
So the copycats was a big thing for you. You knew these guys, Jim.
Wow. People get paid to do this. I do my own little show.
Were you just doing basically everybody else's impression? Because usually when you're growing up in that era, you're doing Rich Little's Nixon.
Right.
You're doing David Fry's Nixon. Yep. Everybody's doing a Nixon, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how it started?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can sort of take a little bit from column A and column B and kind of mix and match things, try to get... there are always different hooks that you can kind of grab onto.
Yeah, if you hear it, and then somebody unlocks the code for you,
Was it kind of SNL era guys that kind of really flipped the switch?
Yeah. I mean,
Dana Carvey's and things like
Dana Carvey, Joe Piscopo. Who I know. It's like nobody talks about him anymore. But he had some really he was the first guy to do Letterman. Remember? And he did a wonderful Letterman impression.
How are we doing on time?
Paul, have you?
He was the first one to pick up the rhythms and kind of gestures and just those phrases that we all knew from Letterman. Yeah. It was immediately recognizable. And honestly, his Sinatra, even his singing Sinatra,
was pretty
strong.
Great.
Yeah, right?
Very good. And then you went into Jay Moore was one of the first guys to do. Christopher Walken.
Oh, yes.
He did the Christopher Walken show.
Then he left the show.
And he just stared at the camera and said, why aren't you calling?
And Chris,
you should call.
Chris Walken came on the show and said, where's the kid who does me?
Yeah.
And he already left the show.
So, because everybody does that. So it's Walken was the big one over the last few years, and then Morgan Freeman. Now everybody's doing Morgan Freeman.
Right.
And that's the one you want to do.
Got to have your nose up next to the microphone. So, that's it, Freeman.
It's. I know Larry Davis is somebody who I work with, and he is actually the Morgan Freeman replacement voice.
He's the go-to guy.
Yeah,
because I know Tom Kane did a lot of it too.
Yeah. Larry's doing most of it, and he literally said that he could make a living just doing the Morgan Freeman sound alike. He says he gets at least one a week.
Yeah.
And it's probably his highest premium he charges. It's he puts it right up there at the top of the list,
which is crazy.
And he could make a living off that right now. Kind of distinctive voice.
After the movie comes out, they're all going to be saying, we want that Captain Quark sound. And so we'll all be doing our knockoffs of Jim.
So tell me a little bit of how many other games have you worked on, Jim?
Man.
Both of you. I mean, obviously, we talked to James, and so we've talked about your Final Fantasy stuff, which probably still comes up to this day, right?
It
as a big thing. You're embedded in the Star Wars universe now because of your Obi-Wan.
Yep. Yep.
And by the way, you haven't been in here to talk about the fact that your voice is actually in
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty neat. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Got a credit in there and everything.
Yeah.
I was all sorts of different stormtroopers and aliens and Imperials.
Wow.
And I was the original voice of Obi-Wan in the dream sequence.
And then they got some asshole named Ewan McGregor to do it.
That's right. And then they took a little of Alec Guinness. as well. And they,
yeah, that's
they
right. And
edited
they melded
out
them together.
From the word afraid, they made
he's
Ray.
He's an awful doll that you're looking for. Yeah,
just so another example of frickin' Brits taking yeah. our jobs, right? Brits and Scots.
The sound designer for that film, Matthew Wood, is a dear friend, and he... you know, had me come in and do some stuff. And he said, I want you to do this. We're trying this whole new thing, and we want to have Obi-Wan in there. Frank Oz, who is also a dear friend now, which is so weird to say.
Yeah.
Frank, like, we'll email each other, and he's the most, like, sarcastic. Like, I'll say, Frank, it's so good to hear from you. Oh, shut up. He'll just send me this. You're pathetic. Oh, you groveling little, you know, he just sends these wonderfully, like, sarcastic emails.
That's one thing that both of you have probably encountered now is that growing up and hearing these voices, Frank Oz, knowing at one point intellectually, oh, that guy is not only the voice of Yoda, but he was Miss Piggy and
everything.
So you must have met some heroes. I mean, have you had that experience of walking in a studio and going, oh my God, that's that guy. That's that guy.
That's the guy from that thing that time.
Yeah.
You know, the guy.
And now you're kind of part of that world.
I've been amazed at how many wonderful people I've got to meet, and I don't have any like negative stories of
well, I wasn't anybody. Looking for you know but, dirt unless you had it.
No, but like I say, like Gary Cole yesterday, that was really cool.
Yeah,
I just love Gary. But all sorts of different folks that you get to run into and work with, and then there's a bunch that you never work with, but you're in projects with all the time. I'm in 4 movies with Samuel Jackson. We've never met. I'm in 3 movies with Patrick Stewart. Never met.
Well, that's the strangest thing about being a voice actor. Yeah. There are situations, obviously, especially on animated series, where you do go in a room and it's all of you working at the same time. That's pretty common. But it's probably more common to go in and just be one-on-one with the director, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for video games especially. Yeah. So Jim and I never worked on Ratchet and Clank together. We've done all these titles together. The only time we've ever been in the room together was for Ratchet and Clank the movie.
Right.
And same with David Kay.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I met David 8 games in.
That's funny.
Well, tell me, about one of the things I wanted to ask is, you've both done tons of games, you've both done tons of animation series or whatever. What gets the biggest reaction as far as like fans reaching out to you? Is it the games? Or is it something else?
Well, for me, you know, the games are big. Star Wars, Obi-Wan, that stuff is always, you know. But Final Fantasy and Ratchet and Clank are way up there. People love to talk about it. I'm doing on my little YouTube channel right now, I'm doing this Ratchet and Clank month. And so I'm just, I'm doing drawings and things and giving away, you know, posters and stuff from it. But also just telling stories about it and people ask me questions, and they're just fascinated by it. I think the wonderful thing about it is people are fascinated about voiceover now. They want to know. And I always say, you know, the producers in Hollywood may not know who we are. They're like, why should we put their names on the poster? We don't know who they are. They're voice actors. But their kids know who we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the advent of the internet, they can find you now.
Sure.
Yeah.
They start to know that there is a human being associated with that. I mean, other than maybe Casey Kasem growing up, I think only because I heard it on some other show that he was the voice of...
Putting 2 and 2 together, that was him as Robin and
right, once I started
Shaggy
hearing it,
and,
I remember the series Hot Wheels, which I think ran 1 season on Saturday morning, and he was a character on Hot Wheels. Yeah. And once I knew, I was like, oh, that's my countdown guy.
It was Casey and Don Messick and...
So now
Mel
people
Blanc
can actually kind of find you, and even though, Jim, you do not subscribe to the social media...
Well, he's on Twitter. You're on Twitter.
All of the anti-social media. That's
you're on the Twitter, right? Because I'm following you.
I must be.
You are. You don't respond to any of my tweets, but...
I think his team handles his...
That's right, yes.
My people. I have people who pretend to be me.
That's right.
But one of the things that's... part of it is that if you've been doing, for instance, Ratchet and Clank, in some cases, these kids have grown up with your characters. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the weirdest thing is when you have a 20-something come up and go, oh, you're my childhood.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Yes, good to know.
Let me do that wretched voice for you.
Here I get my other teeth.
Yeah, but it's true. It's wild, and they did. But I mean, you figure, anybody that is in their 20s, this has been around for.
One of my favorite animation eras was when I was doing Secret Files of the Spy Dogs. We were all playing dogs, and I was sitting between a bat and a monkey. I was literally between Mickey Dolenz and Adam West.
Oh.
And we were all playing dogs. Yeah.
That's your autobiography. That's the title of it. Stuck between a bat and a monkey.
Stuck between a bat and a monkey. Jim, has there ever been a voice you've been asked to do that you just kind of couldn't nail, like whether an impression or a character that you just, that you really struggled with? And James, same thing with you. Huh?
Yeah, besides James Arnold Taylor.
Could you do a James
thing? That's a hard one to do. I couldn't. I don't think I can do that. No, it's nuts. It's too hard.
Aww. That's so cute.
That's what you sound like.
Tricky.
I mean, you'll attempt anything, I would imagine,
sure,
if somebody threw it at you.
Not, unless it's a real throat ripper that's going to,
yeah,
you know, that happens every once in a
meatloaf.
While.
Meatloaf. Sing like Meatloaf, please. No, I'm kidding. unless you can, and then I'd like to hear that.
There's a few that
Joe Cocker.
That don't work.
Like, what would you do if I sang attitude? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
For 4 hours, though.
Yeah.
Then you got
it's like Gilbert Gottfried. Oh. They want to do that, but it's very loud and obnoxious, you know.
I did a five-way radio thing with all these voices from all over the thing, and Gilbert Gottfried was one of them. He was in New York. I was doing Schwarzenegger or something in some other part of the...
And that, but when he came... He turns it on for the performance.
Yeah, he turns it, but he's very
but when
different.
He's,
yeah.
When he's just talking, hey, how you doing? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously?
All right. Oh, yeah.
Are we
ready? Okay.
So then the thing happened with the guy at the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know in my mind that that's a bit of a put on.
Yeah.
But I have never not heard him sound like that.
Yeah,
I don't think
the way he, that's the way he, but I mean, yeah, it's very soft otherwise. Tobey Maguire is one that I was asked to do a lot of.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's got a really unique tone, and I can't get to it. Ron Howard. I did Ron Howard's stuff for Arrested Development. I did some fill-ins for him.
Oh, you did?
And that was tricky.
That's
because it's the closest to my regular voice. Like, it's anything that's really close to your own voice, that's harder because you then go, oh, I don't want to fall into me.
Yeah, and he's got a distinctive sound, but it's so kind of like Midwestern farm boy.
He's got
kind
that,
of,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, Fonz. Yeah, it's that whole kind of thing there.
Because I get a lot of audition descriptions saying, you know, sounds like, and it's always Matthew McConaughey, John Corbett, Ron Howard.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
But with Ron Howard, I think of him from several different ages, you know?
Yes, right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Opie, no. And Matthew McConaughey, I've done his stuff for movies and all. Well, you're just doing his thing. You know, it's all right in there. Yeah, man.
It's all right.
It's all good.
So tell me about, I get approached all the time because I voice enough commercials and stuff that I get asked about this world. And you were talking about, James, that people know now that voiceover is a job. It exists. I guess the downside is there probably are fewer of them now. I mean, it's just that you guys are lucky that you are in that world because it's harder to get into that world now. It's truly competitive.
It's harder to get into it, and it's also affected it. You know, I mean, the problem I have, what's my beef, Dave?
Yeah,
what's my
tell
beef? Jay Leno, come on, what's my beef? is that everybody wants to do it. And so you've got all these outlets that are kind of watering down the market, and people are doing it for a couple bucks as opposed to then. And you're hearing, like, so you remember in the 90s, it was grunge. It was there, you know, Cam Brainerd, our buddy Cam, had that kind of lock on. That kind of, you know, that kind of thing of like, you know, or Phil Buckman with the burger, fries, and a Coke. You know, it was all that, right? Now it's this 20-something mush-mouth kind of, you know, thing, and everything is just kind of like this. There's not really anything there. And really bad mic techniques, so they'd be off the mic. And then you hear it and you go, that sounds like the scratch track.
Yeah.
And it's the commercial and it's for like a national ad campaign. And I'm like, because they're so like going, we want something different. We don't want any announcers. It's like, no, you do want an announcer.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think you do. I mean, one of our good friends probably, we all know Joe Cipriano. And I've known
Joe Cipriano.
I've known Joe forever, but Joe has an announcer's voice.
I mean,
that's how he talks in real life.
How are you, Larry?
And I think one of the biggest impressions that he made on me is that he's still working with a coach on the East Coast because he needs to expand his world to be able to try and adapt to some of these
other
things.
Great to do it, though. And you hear it. He did a campaign a few years back for, I think, NBC, where I went, that's not Joe. And they're like, no, that's Joe. I'm like, wow. And it was great.
Because you would think, he's got one of those voices you would recognize. Is that something you have to be very conscious of, is is not necessarily.
You mean not trying to sound like an announcer?
Well, you know, Larry.
We're not trying to change what you can bring to the table, but also understanding that you may have to adapt to kind of new styles. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel that pressure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, and again, mic technique is very important.
I mean, that's the difference, is going, okay, but I know headphones, mic, studio, right, how to work it. So maybe I'll give them that feel in a cleaner, more using my understanding.
Because everybody can set up a laptop and a microphone in their closet now, mm-hmm, and use clothes as soundproofing. I mean, and I'm giving away secrets here because I've done that before.
We've all had those
kind of makeshift moments where we can still turn out, you know, pretty good product. But everybody probably feels like, oh, I can do this because I can do this in my yoga pants at home and knock it out. But this is an art. I mean, let's just kind of pat ourselves on the back.
I do not have yoga pants. I have naan.
You see, this naan is where you need to adapt.
Because naan is a kind of bread that you eat in India, you know.
You have naan yoga pants.
I make no bones about it. Naan yoga pants! There's an old callback to an old radio bit that Larry and I did.
Nobody cares.
I really feel like people need to realize that it is an art. I mean, that's why I created my stage show that I do.
Yeah.
It's called Talking to Myself, and I take you through the life of a voice actor, and people go, I had no idea. They watch it and they go, I had no idea. And I think it's great to educate people on what we do because it really is an art form. It's beautiful to watch Jim Ward in the studio doing Captain Quark. It's a dance. It's this, he does these wonderful things that, you know, I mean, again, everybody, we all can do our Jim doing Quark, but it's not Jim.
Well, I think that's one of the things I think you and I've talked about, James, is that I don't know that people recognize how physical you get in the studio. I mean, Jim, are you sweating? Are you working? Are you in there like?
Yeah. I mean, you really have to give your diaphragm a workout, and you have to sort of take on the physicality of the character.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, I mean, you must get approached by people who want to break into the business, and you're both relatively...
No, never.
No, no. What?
He said with sarcasm.
Voice
dripping.
What?
But you're both nice enough people that you probably do try and give people some kind of advice, unless you're, you know, really protective of...
Get away from me, kid. You bother me. There's a lot of great resources now.
Right.
Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt, who are wonderful voice actors, they wrote a book called Voice Over Voice Actor. So I tell people, go to voiceovervoiceactor.com, get the book. It's $15 or whatever, and it's worth it. It goes through everything. D. Bradley Baker, who's the voice of all the clones on the Clone Wars, and an amazing creature voice actor.
Oh, I thought you were going to... I thought that was the end of the sentence.
An amazing creature. He has got a website, and it's wonderful. He has a website called iwantabeavoiceactor.com, and I say send people there. So on my website, I have a links page that links you to all these different things.
If you
things.
Want an insect or space alien, D. Bradley Baker's
the guy. Pretty much any sound.
That's so funny. You've mentioned him before, James. Yeah, that's... I mean, talk about...
He'd
a specialty.
He'd be a great guest for you, yeah.
I would love to talk to him. Yeah. But what is kind of a key thing for you that you would tell an aspiring voiceover actor? What's let's say a lot
Run!
Of get away as fast as you can.
Get a real job.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of actors would like to kind of branch into that and think that it's not that big of a leap, and maybe they have an advantage in that they do have acting chops, but it's a very different animal. I mean, how do you respond to people, Jim?
Well, I mean, there are people who are in the business who do that as well, who coach people. And I just sometimes feel I'm not qualified to do that, to tell them how to do something.
You have to find
it within yourself. You
Know? And here's the thing. And, you know, I mean, I give them the advice. I send them to the websites. I do all of that. I always tell them, though, too, love your own voice, like what you can do with your own voice. What Jim does and what I do is a very small group of people in the voiceover community that actually do that. So there's plenty of people that make a great living with one voice, you know? And I say, learn what you can do and what you can't do, especially what you can't do with your voice. Because if you know what you can't do, you can then do anything, you know, and then start adding elements.
Well, I think that translates to anything is that you have to find your strengths.
Yeah.
I mean, both of you can do a wide range of style of voices, but you also know what's in your wheelhouse and what isn't. And that's why I asked earlier if there was everything. I mean, you both are probably game to try anything.
Yeah, you give it a shot.
But there are probably things you go, I just didn't nail that because that's like talking about Ron Howard or whatever.
And in the voiceover community, this is where you're actually going to get somebody going, yeah, I can't do that. But, you know, Jim Ward does a spot-on one and call him up. Or, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. And that doesn't happen in the acting world on camera. How many times I've been in studios with celebrities and they turn to me in the middle of it and go, this is harder than it looks. I go, yeah. Yeah, and when you leave, they're going to ask me to do all of your walla. So keep
it
going,
all aligns,
smarty
you screwed
pants.
Up. Yeah. Well, Ratchet and Crank. Oh, wow. That's a whole different film.
Oh, I just found out Ratchet means something really kind of like bad in the world of, like, you know, with the kids.
Well,
it's, you got some Google, get
should,
on the Google.
I wonder if I should.
It's some form of like, you know, oh, yo, you got to ratchet that lady. You know, it's this, I don't know. But I did some stuff and they were like going, so do you know the real term of ratchet? I'm like, no.
It sounds a little bit like mouse poop.
It's a bit naughty. Yeah. So
It sounds like ratchet. Rat poop, Jim.
Rat poop.
Let's see. According to the Urban Dictionary, Ratchet is a diva, mostly from urban cities and ghettos, that has reason to believe she is every man's eye candy.
Know what I'm saying?
That doesn't sound like what you were talking about.
No, I guess, well, maybe that's, I don't know.
That's
maybe
way better than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it is better. No, I didn't know it had a different meaning. But so Ratchet and Crank, I guess, could be it.
Could be. Well, are you guys
Kim Jong-un quoted that, Ratchet and the Crank.
It's exciting that Ratchet and Clank is going to show in theaters. Obviously, it's also probably going to be a very big hit on demand. And streaming, but are you surprised that it's actually going to be? Are you going to go see it in a theater, Jim?
I hope so.
Yeah.
What do you mean you hope so? Are you going to pay? Are you going to pay the $15 to go hear yourself?
$15. No, come on.
What am I made of money
to go see yourself? That seems a little, you know. It'll be fun. I think that it's great that it's coming out. Thankfully, there's no Pixar movie coming out the same week.
Well, it looks like it could draw beyond the gamers who have known it forever,
The thing. It is a family film. It's very funny. It's got a lot of great action. It feels like the games. If your kids play the games and you don't, and you enjoy it with them, then your kids can go, you know, there's a game, and I play it at home, and now you can experience it together.
Yeah.
It really is fun. There's a wonderful moral message in it, too. There really is. And it's about doing the right thing. And it's got a bit of Star Wars, A New Hope in it. Ratchet's kind of Luke Skywalker-y in that. I thought it was really charming and fun. I mean, again, it's not going to change the world, but it's a fun movie. And I hope people, especially at this time of year, just go out. It's a family movie. You can bring your kids to it. It's great.
Good.
But I was going to go get some power converters.
Yeah, that's right. And John Goodman plays the kind of Uncle Owen character.
There's the other actor I totally forgot. Oh, God, what a great voice.
Yeah.
So, Jim, I want to wrap things up here. I want people to definitely check you guys out, Ratchet and Clank, in theaters and probably soon to be as well streaming and available. And who knows? What would you say is your, not strongest voice, but your favorite voice to do all time?
Boy.
The one you just had the most fun doing.
Well, I've always had a lot of fun with Jack Nicholson.
Awesome. All right, now hold that thought. James, for you, would it be Michael?
Michael J. Fox is in a sense one that's kind of the most natural, yeah.
So if these guys, let's say we're witnessing the first time Jack Nicholson and Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
Where were you going?
Oh, I was thinking of, it's kind of off the track a little bit, but Robert Easton, the dialect coach, God rest him. May he rest in peace, was trying to teach Arnold Schwarzenegger how to do a Russian accent for Red Heat, and he couldn't do it.
Jim Belushi Schwarzenegger movie?
Yeah. Because he has his particular Austrian accent. The P's become B's, and there's a scene where he was reaching down to see if this guy was still alive, to see if he had a pulse, and feel his neck, and he says, "This man has no balls." Wow, you can tell that by touching your neck? Wow, you are good.
Oh, this man has no balls.
Yes, it's true. This man has no balls. Oh my gosh.
All right,
gosh.
So back to, here's my scenario, all right?
Yeah, okay.
And this is so cheesy, but I just think you guys will knock it out of the park.
Here,
all right,
yeah.
So if they recast Back to the Future, but Jack Nicholson
How about I do Jay Baruchel? That's one that I do a lot now. Do you know Jay Baruchel?
Yes, of course.
Jay Baruchel is, of course, in How to Train Your Dragon and all. I do his doubling for all of that.
Wow.
So
all right.
Why don't I'll modernize it so it's not Michael J. Fox.
Right.
It'll be Jay Baruchel.
Jay Baruchel is Marty McFly.
Is Marty McFly.
And Jack Nicholson is
Doc Brown.
Is Doc Brown.
Okay.
All right. So here we go.
So, wait a second, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
I was just inches from a clean getaway. Who's Secretary of the Treasury? Jerry Lewis?
Oh, Doc, I think you've been experiencing a bit of a shining.
Ronald Reagan, the movie actor? You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. I'm very serious about all of this.
All right, get back in the car.
Jim, what do you got coming up that we should keep an eye out for? And where can people find Stephanie Miller's show?
We used to be able to find it on the actual radio.
Yeah, that terrestrial that? Radio airwaves thing.
It got booted off the air for a while there, and now it's been reinvented from her house.
So we have to go to her house?
Oh, okay. No, wait, I can't remember now.
All right, I got to Google the own show that you're actually on. This is what a Luddite that Jim has become.
Is this on? Check one, two.
We've been rolling this whole time.
Yeah, we recorded all of this. How about StephanieMiller.com?
There you go.
There's a good start. Enough.
And you can listen live to the Stephanie Miller Show. And anything else we should be watching for? Video game or animation-wise?
Anything you can talk about? That's the problem.
You guys are always signed to these non-disclosure things.
NDAs, right. Yeah.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so
it's
keep
like
an
before
eye.
You can see the project, sign the NDA.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, luckily, Jim Ward is not in charge of his own IMDb, so you can find out there. James, what do you got going on?
Well, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy is going strong.
Very cool.
And, well, I've got my own. I've been doing all this vlogging stuff, and I'm really, really enjoying that because that I can actually talk about. There's several games that are coming out very soon that I can't talk about, but people will be very excited about. So there's that.
Shows. That sounds very...
I could talk about it, but I have to kill you.
We just had a Lego DC Cosmic Clash. I played The Flash. I'm Lego Flash.
Oh, sweet.
And that movie just came out. And then new Lego Scooby-Doo movie. And I play the head of a studio, Chet Brickton.
Yeah, baby. He's this great guy. So that just came out.
Sounds a bit like Tony Bennett.
Yeah. You know, baby, I love him.
I like that.
But and then let's see. I'm trying to think of the ones that you actually can talk about. James ArnoldTaylor.com.
There we go.
And go and subscribe to my YouTube channel because I've got great stuff, especially for people that want to be voice actors. I take them behind the scenes in the booth and all
that.
Yeah,
you give a lot of practical information on there. And will these shenanigans be posted as well?
This will be on.
Have you signed a release, Jim?
Maybe.
I'm going to just have the blur
him out
on Jim the whole time.
And alter his voice.
My alter ego, Wim Jordan.
All right. Ratchet and Clank, definitely check out the movie.
I'm going to go home and IMDb myself now.
Yeah. Our regards to David Kay.
Yes.
Sorry he couldn't Clank along with us today. Or Crank with us, as a matter of fact. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Larry.
Great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You want to just throw out a Get a Monkey?
Get a monkey.
And could I get Captain Quark to say get a monkey?
Get a monkey. Or maybe an orangutan.
Okay, calm down.
One of them is running for president.
I didn't say you could ad-lib.
Get a monkey. Get a monkey!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.